A reading from Luke 4:25-30. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
The problem in reacting to this or understanding it is if we don't know who Elisha and Elijah are, it's going to be a little bit difficult for us to understand what Jesus is saying. The other thing that I would say here is that the Bible to Jesus was the Old Testament, and the characters or the personages of the Bible were as real to him and the people who are really hearing this as Jesus is to us.
Yeah, I would add to that, what's really important to note, the people that Jesus singles out as experiencing a miracle at the hands of Elijah and Elisha. He, first of all, Elijah and Elisha were the great prophets of old. When you think of the great three of Israel, you have Abraham, who's the father of faith, Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah was like the prophet moving, and David's the king. So, you know, Moses, Elijah, and David were considered the greatest, with Abraham being the patriarch. So Jesus is now making a comparison to what he's doing to the greatest in their tradition. And then he chooses, of all the people who experience power at the hand of these great people, are two Gentiles. Of all the people that experience the blessing from the prophets are the people who are the enemies. And what basically Jesus is saying is, you're going to be in that same tradition. You're Israelites, you're Jewish, you're going to miss it, but Gentiles are going to get it. And now we see why they're so angry. He really touches on their ethnocentrism and their racism and their exclusivity, believing that God was their own provincial God, not the God that was out there to other people. Other people could come and change and become like them and enjoy their God, but they didn't see God as being over all peoples. And Jesus now really presses the message to its furthest extent.
But he walked through the crowd and went on his way. That reminds me of several passages in the Gospel of John where it says his time had not yet come.
Yeah.
The people, I mean, we've been talking about over the last week or two about the reaction to Jesus' teaching, for the most part, really pretty good. But now we get a reaction that is really just the total opposite of it and does foreshadow a resistance, a growing resistance to him as he is moving more and more through time and closer to Jerusalem.
Yeah, and I have to bring it back to the issue of authority. And I know it's going to make you laugh because that's my issue, but the crowd is more powerful than him. Well, why does he walk through? Because he has authority. The demons are more powerful than him. Why does he command them to go someplace? Because of his authority. The wind and the waves are more powerful than him. His circumstances are more powerful than him. Everything is flowing out of his reclaimed authority, God's design, and introducing the kingdom of God, that it is to operate proactively to push back the darkness and to see God's light released in the world in which we live.